Chat of 2025. I am joined today by Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast, John Willis from Special Operations Equipment. I'm Nicole Soss from the Living Free Tennessee Podcast. And I was just saying, we got to start out by highlighting that badass hoodie that John has on, which is perfect for today. Show us that.
It's OD green. It's got black liner inside it. It's one of our lightweights, which is my favorite. And it has the round logo on the back, says made in the motherfucking USA. And then it has the standard logo on the front here.
Cool. I'm in my tax slave. Shirt today. I realized today, John, that I'll be ordering another one of these because this is going to wear out before I can stop wearing it every Tuesday.
Oh, so shit. We got to up those sales.
I do a T-shirt of the week, and I'm wearing the tax slave one every week until 100% of my income is not going to my taxes. Order more coffee. Obviously, but anyway, so I have to find 4,000 ways to say tax slave t-shirt between now and sometime in April or May. Well, I don't know the exact cutoff date yet, working with the tax foundation on that one. Okay, Jack, what do you
want to do? I should do more of. I'm going to promote my own swag shop. I've got the 1984 1776 Fade shirt. They're available at TSP Swag, and you should go get one.
Very nice.
Okay, so self-replicating shrimp. That is the first topic of today's show. Guys, who in the comments, if you have any questions or topics you want us to talk about, put the word question or comment in all caps, and then we will start and do our best to work it in. Jack, what are self-replicating shrimp, and why are we talking about that today?
They're actually crayfish, not shrimps.
But, sorry. I said
potato,
shrimp.
Potato, right?
Right.
So we were just bullshitting before we went live, and John was like, what the hell is a self-replicating crayfish? And so they're called marble crayfish. They're kind of spotted. They don't get really big compared to like some of the bigger crayfish. They get, you know, a couple, 3 inches long and totally edible. And there's some weird mutation that actually is from a crayfish. It was originally from North America, but somehow, somewhere it mutated in the pet trade and originally popped up in Germany. And these things they don't mate. They're all like bisexual, asexual. And so they're all clones. They all started with just one. You can throw one in a tank, and eventually as it matures, it will bury and it will make babies, and the babies will bury and make babies, and the babies will, and it just goes on and on and on. And of course, so our government's like, it's going to go invasive. And it really hasn't anywhere. Michigan's like the only state I know that has a prohibition on them. Everything eats crayfish, so
they're not government. Like, your government's the only one releasing invasive species.
Yeah, like, you know, they rail on autumn olive after they planted like 800 million of them on the highways.
Kudzu.
So government does it. Government did kudzu, et cetera. Anyway, these things are really cool. They've become a major food source in Madagascar. Like, it doesn't freeze there, so like all the ditches and shit, people just throw them in there. And then there's like people that go out and gather them and sell them at market now because they breed so prolifically in that condition, especially because there's nothing really to eat you when you're in water that deep.
And these are not the sharp ones that cut you, right? Like those super sharp razor shrimp?
No. They're not the blue prawns from like Thailand or whatever. Okay. I'll pull one up. Crayfish.
Now, you got those originally for that duck pond system you put in.
Yeah.
Why'd you take them out of that?
I never actually put them in there. I couldn't get them when I wanted them for that. And this is a good picture. Let me see here. No, it's fucking Wikipedia. Here. All right. Show this tab instead. This is what they look like. They look like a standard crayfish, except they have this kind of marbled appearance. And again, they get about maybe 3 inches long. So a tail's an inch and a half. So it's like a small shrimp in size to eat. When I built the system over by the duck house you're talking about, I couldn't find any. And then I ended up throwing a bunch of them in one of my other systems, and I'm not sure how well they're doing there yet because I haven't done like an inventory on them. But I threw one in a 55-gallon tank in my office, and the reason we're talking about this is my tank failed on Sunday morning. It had about 6 inches of water in it, and they're like 2-foot tall tanks. So about 50 gallons of water soaked into my rug in my office. So I've been dealing with that. So I am discombobulated right now. I did save the crayfish. He's in another tank now, though, so he's okay. And a couple Admono shrimp were in there, too. So fortunately, there were no fish in there or anything, so it's not that big a deal.
How cold can they get?
They have no problem surviving water with ice on top of it. Now, exactly how far they can push that, I'm not sure. But if Michigan's concerned about them, they can at least live in Michigan. So now the one thing about people keeping them in aquaponic systems and stuff that you got to think about is in the wild, the bottom of a pond or a creek or whatever is muddy. And creatures like that will, when it gets cold enough, they'll just burrow in the mud. Now, if you have them in a tank and they have nothing they can burrow into, you know. But I've never seen a tank, like a big aquaponics tank, freeze all the way solid like an ice cube all the way down. I've had, yeah, I had IBCs and stock tanks that, you know, had 6 inches of water in them, and there were still koi and goldfish swimming in that space. That, well, not, they just kind of sit there. So they should be fine. I've not seen any kind of cold problems. I've got Neocardania, which are the cherry shrimps that are all through the tropical fish trade that have been living in my systems outdoors for 6 years now. So a lot of these things they say won't, will. But what I do whenever I'm attempting something like this, I don't put, and this is why they were all inside, I don't put them out in the winter. Put them out in the middle of the summer, and I let them adapt as the water declines. I did that with a white Nile tilapia. They're not supposed to make it past 55. They made it to 37 degrees before they just kind of went flat on the bottom of the tank. And that year was the year I did the indoor aquaponics experiment. I took a 300-gallon Rubbermaid tank I had, put it in my shop. I netted all the tilapia out. They were all literally laying on their sides on the bottom. I stuck them in there. I threw the garden hose in there. Like, let's see. They all came back. They all lived. They just kind of went and, like, I guess they were sliding into death slowly, and they kind of went into this dormancy thing, and 100% of them made it. So, you know, I encourage people to see what can be done, but when you do that, like, don't put a lot of money into it, because if you're wrong, fail small and then win big.
So my IBC totes are all outside. We've got, I don't know, there's about 2,500 gallons in the system, 300-gallon IBC totes. They freeze up into an ice cube.
Yeah.
And you've got about 4 inches on each side. You can just put your hand down inside. One of the tanks has six butterfly koi in them. They're over 12 inches now. And those, every winter, they freeze up. And I think, oh, man, they're dead. And I order another six to a dozen off of Atlanta koi, I think, or Atlanta goldfish that you recommended off of Amazon. And I get them. And then all of a sudden those other ones pop back up a few weeks later and they're still alive. They literally just freeze into a block of ice and then they unfreeze. And looking at marble crayfish, they are, there's a lot of sellers on eBay where you guys can get them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I would go. A lot of the aquarium places, and I'll sell out of them. And what it really is like, I get them from a local aquarium shop. So I can just go pick them up. They will not sell you them when they're buried. Right. Buried means they have eggs underneath their tail. So when they go start getting them for you, and when they have a tank full and they all have berries on them, they won't sell those because that's their future stock. So they all kind of seem for some reason to do it about the same time, probably because they're all born about the same time. They're all clones. They're all genetically the same. So they all hit their sexual maturity at exactly the same time.
I see somebody saying, are there any animals that you can use their poop for fertilizer? Absolutely.
All of them.
Rabbits. Every animal. Especially rabbits. You can use it immediately.
Yeah, the hack I stole from John Willis was that he uses the concrete trays to catch the poop, which I was doing. But he has them tilted, and there's holes drilled in so that the water drains out. That's made my use of rabbit poop way better.
There's two size concrete trays. Make sure you get the smaller one, because if you're lazy, like inevitably I will be, they get too heavy, and the urine does degrade those, and with the weight, they snap. So with the smaller ones, they are easier to maneuver. Plus, we have a dog kennel panels built all around our rabbit enclosure, and it's I can almost get the small one through by tilting it, but the wider one, the bigger ones, you cannot. And the big ones hold a lot of weight.
So there's actually three sizes? Mm. There's a 7, a 14, and a 21. You probably mean the 7, because even the 14s are pretty damn big. The 21s are fucking huge.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you can keep fishing the big one. Well, you can keep fishing any of them, but the big ones are big.
Yeah, I use those for the duck ponds, the 21s. And they're they're like $11. I don't know what they do with them. And the reason you probably think there's two, if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, sitting on the shelf, you'll see 7s and 14s. You go to the fucking website, it'll say, we have a shitload of 21s in stock. Hmm. You're like, you order them and go pick them up, and they're there.
Yep.
But I've never actually seen one. I don't know where they put them. I don't know where they're at. They're always in inventory. You can always order them in advance and go pick them up at will call. But they're never on the fucking shelf. It's crazy.
So I guess the question was really, are there any animals you cannot use their poop as fertilizer?
It depends on how long you're willing to wait and what kind of process you're willing to do. Like dog, you have to treat dog manure
like human manure.
So it's like a 1-year process to do it right and safely, because they, you know, have E. coli and shit like that. Chicken manure needs to go through a good, long, hot compost or a slow, static compost. But I don't know of any that you specifically cannot use. It's just you have to treat each one differently. The more omnivorous the thing is, the closer to human, the more potential to pass pathogens on.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to read you guys a quote. This is whose quote is this anyway? You tell me who it is. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards, once again, prioritizing free speech.
What?
The recent elections feel like a cultural tipping point towards prioritizing free speech.
Gotcha.
Do you know who it is?
Who?
Zuckuck.
Who?
Zuckerberg.
Okay, now I know where that's coming from, because he's going to emulate Elon and do like community notes and get rid of his fact checkers.
Fact checkers. Independent fact checkers are
not fucking independent at all.
All the media.
18-year-old chicks with nose rings and blue hair telling doctors they're wrong. I think you've left facts way in the dust. I think he's scared as shit. I think he's afraid of inquiries. I think he's afraid of additional regulation. I think he's afraid of them saying, okay, you want to do that shit, you're a publisher, and taking away protections and saying you're responsible for all the content if you're going to censor the content. I mean, is it, if you look back, like there's precedent for this in a really bad way. Ross Ulbricht, the reason they actually said that he was culpable for the things that were done on the site is because he did remove some things, but not all things. So that made him responsible because he had decided what to remove. And hence, that would be precedent in federal court to say, well, then if you remove some but not all, you're responsible for everything.
If anybody doesn't know who Ross Ulbricht is, that's the Dread Pirate Scott from the Silk Road. Jack did a great interview with his mom, and it's bizarre that nobody's bringing that up, and you don't hear Trump talking about reviewing that case. The two head detectives on his case who were really responsible for him being in prison are themselves in prison for stealing money from the case.
And committing fraud while investigating the case. And the jury in Ross's case was not permitted by the judge to be told that that happened. Yep. Now, I will tell you that I have had direct contact with their family, and everything looks like it's going to happen. It looks like Trump is going to do what he said he's going to do. There's been back channel communication. Good. I originally wanted to go to Tucson and get like a whole bunch of people, just go to Tucson and not bother them, but just kind of be there. And when he walked out, like, cheer for him. And I was willing to pay for plane tickets and shit just to do that. The family doesn't want it. They want privacy, so we should honor that. But my understanding is very soon after taking office, his pardon will come through and he'll walk. And to me, I don't care what you think about Trump. I think we're better off with Trump than Kamala by 1,000 times.
Yep.
But I would have endured it just for that, because I think it was probably about 7 years ago that I met Lynn up in New Hampshire. And when I hugged her, I've never felt a person as broken as that in my life. And to give somebody double life plus 40 for building a fucking website with no criminal record is, I don't even care if you think he's guilty. The disproportionality of that is insane. When the people that actually like sold drugs and shit on the site got like a year or two or three, or in some cases five, and this guy got double life plus 40. And it was just to make a political statement. And the judge literally told him in his sentencing, your ideas are dangerous. I'm telling you, if there's a place that we need to check power right now, it's actually at the judiciary. The judges have way too much power. There was some dude that just got like 5 years for telling a judge to fuck off.
Yep. Look at him.
He was stupid. He kept doing it. Like, they're like, that's another 90 days. That's another, like, but it's like a teacher, right? Like, in detention, like, you're getting detention. That's a weekend. That's 2 weekends. Like, yeah. You should not have that. Somebody should be able to tell you to fuck off without you being able to say, I'm going to throw you in jail for another fucking 3 months every time they do it.
Look at them calling Trump back in. They're saying they're going to sentence him, you know, in a little bit here.
You know what they're going to do, though, right? No. It's going to basically be a dismissal but a conviction. He's not going to do any jail time. He's not going to have – all they're going to say is as long as you don't get arrested and convicted again for something else, it's basically – you just have the conviction on your record.
Even though we don't know what this arrest is for.
Yeah, it won't matter.
We don't know what the crime is. They were never – like, it's just bizarre. So Trudeau resigned yesterday.
Yep.
I think his approval rating was 24%. Biden's at like 33% just to – like, and I think Marcone is going next, man. He's like at 21.
That opens the door for worse.
It does. It does. And then I'm sure you've seen what's going on in the UK, right?
Which piece of it?
The child rape gangs, the groomer gangs.
Yeah, that's been known for a long time. There's tons of YouTube channels talking about that.
But it's basically like been admitted even by the government now, but it's not really a big deal. And if you want something done about it, then you're just jumping on the far right bandwagon. So now apparently protecting children from pedophiles is a far right issue.
And they're saying that the victims were just too promiscuous. Like they wanted that. This taught them an important lesson. That's literally what they said. Like that's been said over and over.
That's a terrible reason.
Yes, well, there's no firearms, but your rape gangs have, they call them zombie swords. They're making out of leaf springs and just any pieces of street sign and shit. They're making these crazy wavy, and they all have something in common, all of these criminals. None of them are from the country there. None of them look like people from the country there. It's all one specific type of person that is running all of this shit and doing all the crime there.
I just saw this graph, and it's a different country, but same problem. I think it was Denmark, and it was violent crimes committed by people based on country of origin.
Yep.
And the top of the graph was like, so Denmark was a zero, because you would think the person that lives, raised, born in Denmark would be responsible for the majority of crimes in Denmark because there's more of them.
No.
So they were at a zero, and then everybody's a plus or minus. And everybody that was like, American, Australian, Japanese, even Chinese, whatever, anybody from outside that was like only a visitor was less than what you would expect. Blowing out the top of the graph was like Somalia, right? It was like Middle Eastern, North African committing all the violent crimes. And somebody posted it and said, this is kind of inconvenient based on the narrative, right? That this all makes us stronger and better. And if you bring people in who live in a lawless, violent society, and you just bring them in en masse, what else would you expect? I worked with you know him really well, Nicole Thad. He was in Germany when we evacuated Afghanistan. And some of the people that they evacuated and brought into Germany were refusing to do things as simple as shit in a porta-john.
Yep.
They insisted on shitting on the ground, and they said, you're trying to take our culture away.
You're
that ended
all
up
the truck
that
stop.
Detail because somebody, one of those guys, spit on one of his soldiers and he almost killed him. I mean, you know Thad, Nicole. Like, you don't spit on one of that guy's soldiers and not expect that you're going to end up fucking dead.
You're seeing those signs in all the truck stops. Just dip into any truck stop on any interstate, and you'll see the thing about putting the waste in the toilet and not in the trash can or on the floor in the corner. Yeah, that's just look at what the Prime Minister of Poland has to say. Poland has none of these problems.
Hungary seems to be doing pretty good, too.
Germany's got a government problem.
Germany has a huge problem. And
they should not have joined the EU.
Yeah, no. And Germany's problem goes back to the exact same people. It's that same base of people. They let them in masses, and then they give them little areas of abandoned cities, and then they grow and they grow and they grow. They don't interact with other people in the population. They just take their stuff from Somalia or Haiti or wherever and then plant it right in El Cajon, California, or in Dearborn, Michigan, or any of those places. It's the same thing. It just continues. And they're
well, this has always been how immigrants have come into our country en masse, like, you know, little Tokyos, little Koreas and stuff. Except we brought people in who actually wanted to be here and understood, like, now that you live here, you can have your culture and your little cultural zone or whatever, but you actually have to do the things that you're, you know, required to do in America to be in America. And when they didn't, we had this idea that maybe you, like, throw them out. Like, that's how that would work. Like, what was it, like, 6 months ago, the Congress voted on, should we deport illegal aliens convicted of violent sex crimes? And 150-plus Democrats voted no.
Yep.
That would be – and it was not like one of these 87-page bills where they put the title on the top and there's like 900 things in it and they say you voted against money for the troops or whatever. It was like a very simple, like, 9-page bill that only covered just that, and fucking 158 Democrats in the House voted no.
Yeah. Somebody was asking, why can't they just go in the toilet? I think they want to go in a hole. A squat and not sit. I think they consider it not hygienic to sit on a toilet.
Jeff said, Scully said that every time they had UN in doing peacekeeping missions and building wells, every single time the engineers would leave after putting those wells in, they would be going to the bathroom in the well. He said you could literally watch it. Women would come up and pull water out of the well, and then a dude would walk up and poop right in the same well all through the day.
Yuck.
I'm seldom without a comment. I find myself without a comment. Yeah. I've heard of poisoning the well, but holy fuck.
Yeah, you'll see it in multiple countries.
That is, yeah. That's gross. That's all I can say. Okay, so let's shift over to something a little bit more fun. John, what are you doing differently this year with your content?
I don't know. I've been banned all of this year.
John's banning was really good for my K-Cup sales because the first video on his page was the live had like frozen on a picture of my K-Cups.
Oh, excellent.
And so I did have an increase in K-Cup sales over Christmas. So thank you, John.
Nice. Yeah, we were locked over the interview with Hope Dealer with Callie Blackwell. We got locked for a week. And we got off of that suspension while we were recording, and we got immediately 2 hours later banned for the exact same video. It had been posted up onto Rumble, and Rumble auto-populated to YouTube. So it was private on YouTube, but they hit us again with a two-week strike on the back of the 1 week. So 3 weeks we've been locked down. For everybody that's like, you should be on Rumble, we're on Rumble. I've been on Rumble for 6 years, almost 8 years now. Rumble does not work. To load the same video up to YouTube that takes about an hour to load, it takes 8 to 10 hours, and we had to cut that video into two separate pieces. And I've got over 1,000 followers there. We tell people all the time, people don't use Rumble. It just does not, function the same. We can't even load the video the same.
The problem with Rumble is, like, right now, so we're sitting here and, you know, we have like comments coming in while we're operating here. Can't do it on Rumble. It's an RMTP based stream service, and I don't know why they haven't made the effort, because they have enough money. They're big enough to do it. And I think if you could make streaming more interactive on Rumble, that maybe it would take off more. The people that actually have big followings on Rumble are all huge names. They're like Charlie Kirk or Dan Bongino or something like that.
Rumble,
and they're also all in on Rumble, and they're pushing their Rumble shit like on AM radio on a daily basis. Like I'll get on a topic that's interesting, maybe 300 people in a YouTube live stream some days. I'll never get more than a couple dozen on Rumble.
And Rumble has a pay-to-play service on there. It's $1,200 a month for their highest level. I suspect if I paid $1,200 a month, it would function a lot better for me. But just like Jack said, doing the lives, we just push the buttons on StreamYard that we want to auto-populate. We have to go get a URL from Rumble, put it into StreamYard, jump through hoops back and forth, have it go live, and you still don't see the comments. Do any of you guys, when you use StreamYard, do you see your Instagram comments? Because we never see our Instagram comments.
No.
Either. I stopped bothering to stream to Instagram.
You guys stream to Instagram?
I wasn't getting any traction there.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because when you hit live, then you have to go start Instagram. And I just wasn't, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe on Instagram, You can put up to an hour video now on Instagram also.
Yeah. That's cool.
We're on Rumble, on my Rumble, and we have one person waiting, and it's not working. So, yeah. I set it up today. It's just not going. So, whatever. Yeah. And I did what John just said. Usually it works for me, and I've systematized it to where I can add it, like, it's an extra 2 minutes of work, but it's 2 minutes I don't want to do. Like, everybody else, I just go, source, go, and it's done.
Yeah, well, and the issue for me is that I'm starting to talk while also doing a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That requires cutting and pasting, which shouldn't be that hard, but if I can, you know, like, that's something that, like, one part of my brain's over there instead of on what we're saying. Liberty Cast says something about Odyssey, which I stream there all the time. But
nobody watches that either.
Nobody watches it, yeah.
Yeah, nobody watches that either. There's people, you know, that get really excited about these platforms. But if I'm on Odyssey, right? Yeah. And I'm on Twitch, and I have like five people that love Twitch. And so the fact that all I have to do is tick one extra button, I'll do it. But I'm not paying for it. I'm not going to push it. If people don't use it, people don't use it. That's like, it's like cryptocurrency. I got this new cryptocurrency. Who takes it? Can go away. Like, if you don't use it, we're not going to be there. So if y'all really, really love Rumble, prove it.
Yeah. Like, the time that should have been proven to John Willis was the last 3 weeks when he could not stream on YouTube.
How did you do when you couldn't stream on YouTube, John?
Oh, it's a huge hit. I mean, I still did a live on Instagram and then did a live on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I'll have 20, 30, 40 people, whereas on YouTube, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, by the time we end, I'll have 20, 30, even 100,000 people sometimes have clicked through the live while we were live.
Because my Rumble site did blow up when I was in YouTube prison, but not anywhere. It didn't make up for it. You know, it went from being, you know, a dozen people to 100 people.
I asked them while we were doing lives. I'm like, I see that there's 100 of you guys on Instagram right now. Why do so few of you comment? And they said it just doesn't work the same. They said that YouTube is just so much simpler. Plus, YouTube tells them when I'm live, whereas Facebook and Instagram does not send a push notification. When I go live to people that are subscribed to the content, it actually scrolls across the top of the phone, even if their app is closed on YouTube.
Oh, no, and worse, on Facebook. So I was trying to catch your lives a couple of times on Facebook. I caught one, and it was, like, right at the end, so I didn't really catch it. But I was there. I tried to catch one the next night, and you did go live, but it didn't show up. Like, I would go to your page, click on live, and you were not live there.
Yeah,
and then
weird.
The next day, I see the video, and I'm like, it was totally live when I was trying to find the video.
Facebook used to work well. Like, 5 years, 8 years ago, I would do a live every morning at 9:30, just doing cardio, and I'd have 18 to 20,000 people on that live for 30 minutes while on a treadmill. And yeah, just all kinds of cuts so fast you couldn't even see it.
Yeah, same. Like, I used to go live on Facebook, and it was just, I don't even know how many, because you get buried. You can't keep up with what's going on, and that's not happening anymore. And it was exactly what you said. You would go live, and anybody that had the app active would see that you were live, and then they'd come check it out. I've been told by people in my audience that they do not, even if they are subscribed and have notifications turned on, they do not get notifications when I go live.
And they turn.
I've actually been shut down on that side of things.
Yep.
And that all goes back many years ago, probably close to 10 years now. I had two offers from like promotional companies. And the day that I said no to the second one, my growth stopped. Everything went to shit. Now, that could be causation does not equal, you know, correlation, but it feels very much that, like, we have offered you, and it was, but it was also like, we're going to do everything. You don't have to do anything anymore, Jack. We are going to find your guests. We're going to book your guests. We're going to take care of everything. And it was like, yeah, that's not why I'm doing this. And then all of a sudden, the shadow ban on Twitter back then also came, like, right after that. Hmm. So we have seen them coordinate before.
And we will see them coordinate again.
I mean, I'll just say I've got like 22,000 followers on X, which is shit. It's dog shit for how long I've been doing this. I've been on Noster like a year and a half, and I've got 30,000 followers on Noster, which is a fraction of an ass hair of the total potential pool that's on X, right? It is like it wouldn't even register. If as many people as are on Noster left X in one day, Elon wouldn't even see it on his one pager. It's not even a freaking rounding error. And yet I have more people in a fraction of the time. Because I've been on X since like 08, and it just stalled. So they play games, and I don't know, like, when people say, like, you guys should be, like, streaming here or there or whatever, I'm all for these freedom platforms, guys, but you're not there.
Yeah, you guys don't use them.
I've got a new initiative coming out. It'll come out officially next week, Grow Noster 2.0, and we're going to take another run at that. And I feel like it really helped the first time we did it, so we're going to take a new approach to it and try to grow it more. But it's the only thing that's really growing. And I know you stream on Noster, Nicole. And
I'm not streaming right now because I have an Albi wallet problem that I need to spend time fixing. And you do pay to stream. But I was getting 3 to 5 people. One of them's Jim Seifert, who will watch us either place. But he, like, if you tell him you're on Noster, he goes there. He's, like, stoked to support it. So, you know, I will probably be back to streaming the Friday Live on Noster by the end of this week. That's the goal.
That's an interesting idea, is maybe to pick, because you
have one show,
maybe one show a week, and then if you guys actually fucking mean what you say, and I start seeing you use it, then I'll do it.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, $5 a show. It's not terribly expensive, but you know, when you're only reaching the same 3 people, you're like, okay. And I think part of that with Noster is there's not, like, I can send out a note saying, hey, I'm live, and you do that manually, but there's not like a, hey, notify me when these people go live situation, which will probably change with time and how their apps develop. So
I think Noster is going to start being more than Twitter clones, and I'm already starting to see that, because Noster, for those that are new, is not a place. It is a protocol. So, like, I'm an old fucker, so I use Outlook for my email. That's my email client. But we're using the same email protocol. John probably uses, I don't know. What do you use, John?
Say it again.
What do you use for your email client?
Oh, I use Outlook.
Use Outlook. I use Outlook. Nicole does not use Outlook.
But I also have multiple Gmails that all pop, too. But my main...
Your interface, that's your client, is Outlook. Nicole probably uses Gmail.
Web interface.
So, and that's the thing. Is like with email, we can all talk to each other. My email address doesn't change. You can use Outlook, somebody else can use Thunderbird, somebody else can use a web interface, somebody else can use Gmail, somebody else, because they like being a spot on, can use, you know, Yahoo, somebody can use ProtonMail and believe that it's private, even though it's not, and then we can all talk to each other. That's how Noster works. You have an npub, which is your public address, and you have an nsec, which is your private address, just like kind of like Bitcoin, and the private key is what allows you to publish and do things, and the public is what allows people to see it. And then you can use, like, I use Primal primarily. There's no Strudel. There's Amethyst.
Amethyst is the best.
Because you're an Android user.
Yeah. I have Primal, but I'm having so many problems with it. I'm going back to Amethyst.
Yeah. If you were on iOS, Primal is flawless. Like, and that's the beauty, is you pick what you want. But we're starting to see things like they're adding, like, different services that do live chat, kind of like a Twitter space. Corny Chat's one of them. I haven't really got into that, you know, Zapstream or whatever. But I think you're going to start seeing things like, you're going to see Foodster, right? And Foodster is going to be like dedicated to food, but it'll pull from the Noster main central database, but only things that are tagged a certain way or something. Like, some way they're going to skin things like communities that way. The other thing I think that we're starting to see, and I've played with one called OxChat, because you have DMs. Well, if you can just segregate the message by DMs, then you can create a chat client that's uncensorable. But that one just doesn't work that great. And I tried to talk to the people that are coding it, but English is not their first language. It's also not their second language. It's not their third language. So I can't explain what doesn't work to them. So it just doesn't really function like a Telegram or a whatever the hell else, WhatsApp or whatever yet. But somebody will build that. And what we'll end up with is this entire ecosystem of whatever you want to do running on your Noster private and public key set. And you have your people everywhere. So if somebody cancels you, like even if somebody runs a client, like let's say you love Primal, Primal's like, fuck Nicole. And they turn you off, right? It won't matter because anybody that wants to see you can see you on any other client that they want to without doing anything other than using a different client.
Yep. Rachel says she needs to get back on Noster. Rachel, this is your bar of soap, right?
You could sell it on Noster.
Yeah.
You can sell that on Noster, Rachel. People will buy it just because you're selling it there. You can generate invoices on Noster, lightning invoices for payments on the fly on Noster.
No, she won that.
Oh, she won it.
Porterhouse's wife made this. I'm pretty sure Rachel won
it. Oh, I got it. I thought Rachel was
making it. I was supposed to bring it to SRF, and I didn't. And if that's it, I need to mail it to her, which means I need your address, Rachel. So it's not on my desk anymore. Okay, Chef has a question. Why do I see chats at the bottom of your screen, but it doesn't show on your live chat? Jeff, the reason that is because we are streaming to three channels simultaneously.
Yep.
And so it's going on different channels. You'll see different. That's why I actually pop them on the screen so you can see what's going on the other channels.
So, like, I'm going to comment to make that clear. So that's me, and it's only showing, it's only showing on my stream unless we display it on our screen for you. And so if John were to comment right now, assuming that he's actually, like, so the back office is kind of cool with StreamYard. You can actually post to multiple destinations at one time, but if we do that when we're three together, like, I'm making a comment, it looks like it's coming from Nicole, so we don't do that.
I comment it comes from three places for some reason.
All you have to do down on the corner, John, you'll see a little pull down, and just select your channel.
Okay. So I think the difference is John is not logged in as a channel user.
He doesn't have superpowers.
So I type test and it goes out as me on mine, mm-hmm. as you on yours, and as John on John's.
Correct.
When John comments because he's logged in as himself, it just goes out as him on all three channels. That's something.
Oh, okay.
But so I have superpowers.
I saw somebody earlier ask if they should only use YouTube, X, and I don't remember what else he said. When I do a live in the evening, or when I do a live off the laptop, I can channel it in through StreamYard. So I've got X on there, I've got Instagram, I have Facebook, and I have YouTube. It's very, very rare that anybody crosses over and says that they are on from X. I'm not saying don't use it. People have huge audiences on X. I think that whether you use it or not, you should definitely have it. When you're setting up your social media, you need to get a social media account that you can get the identical name across all platforms, get all your URLs and everything, whether you want them or not, that keeps somebody else from using it. We've even had people recently, we've got over 130,000 on our TikTok. We had somebody make a TikTok. And they did it on our Facebook, too. Looks identical to us.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the page, it's got 50, 60 posts that they have just put our posts on theirs. But it's got a little hyphen or a dot somewhere in there. And they were going around every time I'd go live telling people, hello, fan, you're the lucky winner. And they were giving away guns and shit on our live feeds as though it was us doing it. It was just a scam. But it took me a minute to realize, it took us a little digging to figure out what the hell was going on.
And they'll do something as simple as that right there, like your username. They'll just do your username plus an underscore.
Yep.
And that's why all these platforms that have these verification processes, but you have to be super special to get verified, is fucking stupid. You should be able, any platform should have a verification process. I don't care if it's like $10 one time to just say this person is who they say they are. And then that way users would know, you know, if it doesn't have verified, whether it's a blue check or a little verified dash, then it's not. Because I've had people literally email me and go, I sent you some Bitcoin so you would mine for me. And I'm like, why in the fuck would you even like, it pisses me off. But on the other side, I'm like, why would you even believe that?
Have you ever heard me say it?
Yeah.
Like, they've gotten clever with me where they put my name. They use a one. No, they use an L. Like a lowercase L to be the I in Nicole Sauce.
Yeah.
That one's been used. This is all on Telegram. Like, and I think it's the same person on Telegram doing it to me as it's you, because they're absolutely going, and they did it to Brian Norton.
It's all the same person.
They've done it to me a bunch of times. They create clones of your groups on Telegram.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I just changed my profile picture.
You've reported Telegram doesn't do fucking nothing.
Yeah, it's not worth reporting
that. Imagine how little that person has going on in their life that they have time to run that bullshit scam. Like, I can't even manage my real accounts, much less a fake account trying to be somebody else.
Like goat fuckers and shit. And if they get $5 out of it, that's a day's wages, right?
Wild, man.
Yeah.
Wild.
I've even, like, I jumped on one time and, like, hey, fucker, I know what you're doing. And he's like, sir, you don't understand how little we have here. And he started begging me to give him money, right? So he's running a scam under my name. And when I called him out on it, he actually responded and started begging for me to send him money.
Yeah, makes you almost want to send it to him.
Yeah.
Almost.
No.
You now work for me.
Well, I saw a dude on, I think it was YouTube, who he's a comedian, got one of those scam emails, and he said, well, instead of me giving you, like, bantered back and forth until it was obvious he knew what was going on, had the guy send him some photographs from his village.
Oh, shit.
And then he, like, produced them and sold them and sent the guy the money from the photographs, and then sent him a camera, a nicer camera, and ended up, like, the guy created his own business with the interaction. And I was like, that's slick, man.
For 50 cents a day, you too can feed an Ethiopian.
That sounds like a John Willis move right there. Hey, what do you got to sell?
Yeah.
Instead of fuck off, what do you got to sell? I can sell shit. What do you have to sell?
Anytime we get the Nigerian prince, I'm like, don't you guys have, like, some volcano elephants or some tourist trade shit? Like, send some of that
volcanic
stuff.
Volcanic rocks from Nigeria or something? Like, I'm trying to pick some rocks up. I can sell
The guy on the bicycle made from the old inner tube. They made all kinds of crazy shit over there.
Shoes made out of tires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so did you guys see the thing? They're going to put this huge solar plant in, I think, in China, in the desert. It's supposed to power all of Beijing. I don't know if it really will, but people are talking about what an environmental catastrophe it is or whatever. It's a fucking desert. I'm going to do a whole thing on this next week, but I don't think people are actually thinking, like, what could you do with that? It's going to be, like, I think 15 miles long and 3 miles wide.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge, right? Well, that's a lot of shade in the desert. I'm just thinking, if you were to make the poles higher so that people could easily walk under there and maybe not put them edge to edge so some sun came through, you've got a great place to farm in the desert.
Yep.
Maybe you could, like, graze animals in the shade under there. And, you know, one of our biggest environmental problems, and this is what made me think of it, is tires. Well, what are they always worried? What do the naysayers always say about solar panels? First hailstorm. And they're right. What if we took all the belts of the tires and made automated freaking covers for the freaking solar panels at night? Because that way they're not even accumulating dust at night when they can't generate power anyway. And they make their own power, so they would just roll down and roll back up. Seems to me like you could actually do some really cool shit with this.
Have you seen any of the shorts of people using tires and license plates for tiling roofs? Have you seen any of that stuff?
No, that's a great idea, though.
It's pretty neat.
What's
a lot
that?
Of labor. Making shingles out of tires.
Yeah. They have a thing now. It's way easier than that. It's all automated. They shred the tires, and they form them into, it looks like corrugated roofing. They sell it at Lowe's.
Is that you, Jack?
Jet.
Hold on. I got it.
Yeah. Jack's being visited by the flight military.
Raptors.
Yeah.
The F-35s are good. Anyway, what I was saying, this stuff, I can't remember what it's called now, but they sell it at Lowe's. And it's roofing. Again, it looks like corrugated roofing. It's about a half inch to 3/4 inches thick. And it's all like shredded tires compressed back together. And it's beautiful because you put that on a roof and you get a hailstorm and it just fucking bounces, right? Like, I think it's got like a 50-year warranty.
Did you guys see Department of Energy, I guess this happened yesterday, Biden signed it into executive order that they're banning on-demand water heaters, gas, propane, natural gas, and basically, in effect, they banned the lowest 40% cost-wise of all of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for efficiency.
I was watching a guy break it down. So the inexpensive ones are gone, and basically what they're saying is, if you set up your utilities, our gas is a separate deposit, our electric's a separate deposit, our water's a separate deposit. So when we got the first commercial building up the road, we didn't turn gas on there for 2 years because the deposit was like $600 or something.
Fuck.
So a person can go, especially a low income person, can manage to get a barbecue tank or steal one or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can buy one of these units for $150 and have hot water. For all the stuff they talk about for the environment, because most of the people in the United States are lower income. So if we remove that, that puts them into electric. But everything they want to do for the environment also puts a bigger thumb over you and controls more of what you do and removes your ability to not need their systems.
Yeah, I only heard of that because you said it last night on your live, and then I had to go look at it. So it's by 2029 that they're supposed to all be gone. And, you know, I think about, like, what's your goal here, guys? Because, sure, yeah, it pays off the utility companies by demanding a higher deposit. What it does for gas use is force people into tank heaters, which use a lot more gas.
Yeah, a lot more electricity.
Yeah, either way. And, you know, and the electric on-demand heaters suck.
Yeah.
Like, they're okay, like, right at the fixture for your kitchen sink, but a whole house one?
No, terrible.
They just haven't figured that one out yet.
When I had to replace my heater, and I can't really do it with gas unless I were to use portable tanks because of zoning restrictions and shit, and the gas company won't put a bigger tank in for me close to my house.
Yep.
And we talked to the plumber about electric on-demand, and he said, just don't even think about it. They're shit. And he's like, your water will kill it really fast anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you guys better go buy this right now, man. This is like one of my items I sell. Gasland, portable on-demand hot water heater. They run off a grill tank. We use them for workshops. I guess those are going to go the way of the dodo.
Maybe. Those might have a camping exemption.
I feel like Orange Trump Man is going to undo all this shit, like, just out of spite on day one. Because I feel like Biden's basically taking his diaper off and rubbing it in everybody's face on the way out the door. Like, all of this shit is just to make things as difficult and complicated as possible in the transition.
Zach had a good video on this yesterday. That's where I heard it from American Homestead. We've had him on the podcast before. Super cool dude. He's been at SRF before. And I watched his video, and Trump apparently already addressed it and said he's going to remove all of that shit first day of office. Every executive order that Biden put in, unraveled, gone.
Well, that's the new way of the presidency, right?
I think it is. Yeah.
And then the next one undoes all the shit.
So that gives you, so you have 4 years to go buy all the shit that you want to have because they're going to ban it again. Kerosene has become very, like, when I was in California 20 years ago, you could buy a kerosene heater at the swap meet or flea market, but it was very impossible to find kerosene. You had to buy $50 per gallon, like at Home Depot or somewhere. But as you got out way, way more rural, you could sometimes find kerosene. When we moved here to Camden, Tennessee, you could buy kerosene at several places on the pump in town. A couple years ago, I had to go to Paris, which is 30 minutes away. I thought, you know what? I'm going to bulk up some kerosene this year. I don't know why I'm taking this freeze a lot more serious this year than every other year. So we added 60 gallons of kerosene. I did Google, put in kerosene near me, and I drove to 10 gas stations that said they had kerosene. Not a one of them. Everyone had the pump. Pump was out of order. We finally found a place, bought it. Same thing with non-ethanol. Even out here, it's becoming harder and harder to find non-ethanol fuel. We found it. We bought a bunch. We ran all the generators. We test fired everything, went through all of our small motors. Our wood is super bulked up. We even brought in some Toolman Tim's got a guy out by him that does these IBC totes that are food grade, but they've triple washed them. They've soaped them and everything. So I went and bought those damn things are $200 for a clean IBC tote. And I went and bought those, filled them with hose water, have them in the garage. So, of course, the storm will probably wipe right past us. It won't even touch us.
Well,
but
yeah.
We'll see. I've got some frozen water outside. We were supposed to have snow on Sunday, and it did snow Sunday, Monday, but there's no snow on the ground or anything. It's cold.
Yeah, Sunday morning I get up, and the low is 32. And you know what that means. If you heat with wood, it's like bulk up the fire. So I don't look at the forecast again later that day. The low was 55. My house was so hot, I had the doors and the windows all open all night long. And I was like on my couch with no blankets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told Amanda, I'm like, take that down feather comforter and fluff it up. She goes, are you sure? I go, yeah, it's supposed to be cold. And for the last like week, you're just tossing it off of you. Yes, literally, the bed is wet from the sweat just from this one down comforter.
Yeah. So tonight it's going to actually be cold, John. We're getting down to 15.
Yeah. Yeah, we're down. We've seen 20, and we do have – I've switched all the rabbits from bottles to rubber bowls. Anybody that's keeping animals outside, Tractor Supply has these – they've got big, huge ones with handles all the way down to just small bowls, and they freeze. So we just knock the ice cube out of it and then put water. I've got a trough with a float tank heater. Ideally, you're going to take that frozen water, put it back in that stock tank so that you have that water melting back in there. But that works real well when anytime we have a freeze.
Yep. I use a very similar stove here to heat, but yeah.
It's been 22 this each morning last 2 days here, which for us is brutal cold. And then we're supposed to get 5 to 8 inches of snow Thursday.
Yeah, they're
and
saying
then it's going to be in the 60s by Saturday. So that's like a day and a half of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
In a day and a half, Dallas-Fort Worth will turn into a fucking hellscape.
Yeah, like, they're saying
there's no ability to cope at all physically or mentally by people in this place. They cannot do it.
They're saying even Atlanta is supposed to be shut down for snow, like the airport and stuff. We're supposed to get hit Friday. They're saying between 7 and 11 inches.
Yep.
Which is a good snow for here.
Seriously.
That's a good snow for here. I mean, I kind of am taking it. I don't know why. I mean, we still – it's like every year we amass, and then we just go do more the next year. So not like the supplies ever went away. Well, I always add a kerosene heater and a few buddy heaters every year. Inevitably, you're going to have a friend or employee that just doesn't listen.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, it's frozen outside. You did get kerosene, right? When I told – no, I don't have any.
No.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be shut down for about a day and a half.
Yeah.
I don't even understand. Like, I don't care if you're a prepper or whatever. I don't understand a human being that can't stay in their home for a day and a half and not, like, suffer.
And like, not need something.
Just the food in your refrigerator and your pantry for a normal fucking – I'm not talking about preppers here. Like, I've never been to somebody's home, open the refrigerator, and like, fuck, you can't go a day. I mean, maybe New York City, right, where, like, people literally keep clothing in the refrigerator because their apartments are so small or whatever. But I don't get it.
But how much food do you need for 2 days? You don't need that much food.
You can't start – first of all, you can't – if you have no food, you cannot fucking physically starve to death in 2 days. It's impossible. You won't – unless you've been fasting for 97 days and you're on your last leg, you will be okay without food for 2 fucking days. It's already started. I went to a grocery store yesterday. There is no fucking bread. There is no fucking milk, right? It's all fucking gone. We're not even getting snow for another 3 days, and it's already wiped out. I don't understand. And now eggs apparently are sold out everywhere too, but not related to the weather.
I've got them. I've got plenty of eggs.
I got all the eggs I need, baby.
We can make all the milk sandwiches we need to.
Milk sandwiches.
Well, if it's only cold enough, you can freeze that milk and put it between.
Don even brings us raw milk.
Yep. Are you the drop-off in Camden, or does she just bring it straight to you?
I don't think we're the drop-off, but she brings it out to us.
Yeah.
If you are the drop-off, don't say you're the drop-off.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
we're adding bees this year. I hit up a buddy of mine. We usually buy honey by the quart from this guy, and I said, "Hey, is your grandfather have honey?" He said, "Man, he just passed away a couple weeks ago." I said, "Man, sorry to hear that." He said, "Yeah, they're selling off all the beehives." I said, "Okay, well, how much for all of them?" He says, "Well, there's like 600 stacks," and I have no concept of what that costs. So when we mathed it out, I'm like, yeah, I'm not in for 42 grand. I'm sure that's a good deal.
Yeah.
But so they ended up, they had sold them all. They'd already liquidated. So we're ordering up all of our bees right now. So we're going to max out on bees this year. We'll have bees. I'm looking at these train car culverts. They're the actual train car tankers. They're 42 foot long, 9 feet tall cylinders, and they are a half inch steel, so you can direct bury them in for in-ground refrigerator. Why can I not think of the word?
Root cellar.
So we're looking at that. We had a guy When I came out this morning to open the gates, I was surprised that employees were already in the parking lot. Somebody had busted our, we haven't been using the vehicle barrier gates. We have real swing gates, but we have the automatic chain link gates, and somebody busted one of those down. So we're beefing that up, and they're on their way out here to take care of that right now and the police report and everything. So we got that going on this morning.
Have you seen the footage of that or no?
I have not. They've got it. He said that we have it on here, whoever this is. It's an old vehicle. They left parts of their vehicle in the parking lot. And I haven't seen, I just assumed it's another drunk person hit it and went through the gate, which this will be the third time. But Cody thinks because there's actually tire marks on the ground, he thinks that the guy burned out and actually did it intentionally. I haven't read these messages yet to see what the actual fact is. But
that gives me some ideas for a new gate in case somebody wants to come do it again. It'll look like the old gate, but it won't look like the old gate.
You know, so the first gate, the first time this happened, I got a phone call from a friend that's a state trooper, and he's like, hey, I need you to come to the new property. So I come flying out here, and there's all kinds of cops here, sheriff and Tennessee troopers. But I'm looking inside my compound, and I'm like, how did he get inside if the gate's closed? He's like, we don't know. We're talking to him. I go, Alan, there's no way for a car to get in there other than this gate. He goes, well, he's the one that called us.
Yeah.
So as this unravels, there's a dude from an hour away. He's a preacher, drives down to the little town next to us to preach, comes back. He thought this was a main road bird song. He had a female with him, and they were having some relations is how the story goes.
Okay.
He turns here thinking this is bird song and hits my gate.
Okay.
And my gate sits right about hood level. It runs up the hood, hits his A-pillars, creases the entire car roof line down 6 inches and blows out all the glass. So he's now inside the compound and he is concerned about doing this again. So I open the gate, the car's still running. He's got an hour drive home at about midnight. And
he looks like the sheriff and Smokey and the Bandit, right?
him and her both have to do this to drive home with no glass in the car. And he goes, I just paid the note on this car off. He said, I only have liability insurance.
Dude,
he's super lucky it didn't kill him.
Yeah,
And then the second time, a couple of years later, same gate, my neighbor says he's coming back from the hospital, thought he'd come say hi to me, and hit the gate. It pushed the whole front end of his brand new Suburban in, set off the airbags, hit the A-pillar, and they totaled the entire truck off of that gate. So whatever happened last night, this is the third guy.
I wonder if it's somebody trying to come to the bar.
There hasn't been a bar here in 30 years.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Some hillbilly Cletus kind of shit.
It could be somebody trying to relive the glory days. I went and was up in Louisville a few years ago, and I went by the bar I used to work as a bouncer at, and it's not a bar. It's like a stone quarry type. Not quarry, because there's no quarry there. Like, they sell, like, landscaping stone and shit now out of the parking lot that used to be. Like, the club is now gone, and they put up, like, a little tough shed as an office, and so they must have bought it really cheap.
Hmm. Yeah, somebody says no reflectors on the gate. The thing is, you really have to be... I mean, to drive all the way to John's Gate off of the main highway, it's not like you just turn and there's a gate, right?
The main highway is 55 miles an hour.
Yeah.
My driveway is a one-lane dirt road, barely wide enough for a full-size truck to come down it. And we've got, what, 60 feet at least?
Yeah.
Like, you're going 55, and then you, boom, like this. You couldn't, it doesn't work.
John, there's a lot of roads where you live that look just like your fucking driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
I stayed on one last time I was there.
Yeah. Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reflectors don't work. Somebody used to put reflectors on it. Like, so there's a stop sign, like, 2 miles from my house that's been knocked over, like, 800 times.
Yeah.
And literally a $5 string of solar Christmas lights would stop this.
And
what it is, it's a road that comes out and you can go left or right turning onto a divided road. And they put the stop sign right in the middle. And it's not getting hit by the people that are supposed to stop. It's getting hit by people coming off that main road, and they just plow right over the fucking thing.
I have two Amish buggy placards on it. It has the orange reflectors, the triangle.
I've seen it.
It has lights on it.
So yesterday they put it back up, and some genius decided to take one of those barrels like they put for construction work and cut a hole in it and stick it through the barrel, right? So there's a big orange and white barrel and the stop sign sticking up out of it. We took the kids to meet some family members and have lunch. It was up. Middle of the day, we came home. It's on the fucking ground and somebody drug it back over to the side. It didn't make it. I didn't see it on Sunday when I went down there. So it didn't make it one day in the daylight.
Yep.
And somebody plowed it. So at night on that road, I'm sure it's got no chance.
It would be cheaper for them to put a traffic light there or hang it up.
I just think they should spray paint stop on the fucking road, like red letters outlined in white
with
paint, and just they have another stop sign now, but it's like it only looks like it's for people going right, which would be the safest way to go without it. If you go left there, you're fucking dead. Right? You're gonna get killed if you're not stopping first to make sure. So they need to either put one on both sides or spray paint it on the road or do both. But that center stop sign will never survive.
Well, what about the other side of the road too, you know?
You can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty far. I don't know if people would understand.
Really
it's
big.
It's a three-lane road because they got a turning lane and a left and a right. So you're talking 60 feet, you know. I don't think anybody would get it. But spray paint the fucking word or go to Amazon, buy a $5 thing of solar string lights in white and $1 worth of tie wraps and wrap it around the fucking pole so the pole blinks. And it would stop it. But that would require independent thinking and risking your job. Because we all know if you work for government, if you follow the book and you don't do anything creative, you get promoted. If you do anything outside of the book, you can get fired even if it works.
I see old stop signs all the time at antique stores. I probably should. Those would be great to put up there, too. I want to put those deployable bollards like military bases have, the steel post that slides up.
Yeah.
I think those would be great to just be able to.
You mean like the ones they were supposed to have in New Orleans?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. It's a trip. You know, they had a guy 6 months ago try to run one of the main gates at Camp Pendleton, and they deployed the bollards. And the video you saw was that minivan up in the air, and they had lit that sucker up with something. Like, it was on fire. They actually fired on it.
Yeah.
And they killed whoever was in that, and you never heard any more about it, but they smoked that dude.
No. There's some shit that's going to go on early in this year, I guarantee you. That what we've seen so far is just the beginning.
I was like, we've already seen some shit.
I'm already on the shit list with the conspiracy theorists because I think the dude that was in New Orleans was legitimately possibly some sort of op or something. I think the dude that blew up his Tesla is just the dude that was fucked up in the head. Like, he's autonomous. It doesn't work that way. I don't know, man. It's weird, but... It's like his correspondence with his ex was really like, if it was my friend and I saw that, I'd be like, we need to get this motherfucker some help. Now, it doesn't mean that maybe somebody might have not been working him and pushed him over, because I think that's what happens more. I don't think they go up to some dude that's like a special forces soldier. You're going to be a suicide bomber to help America. I think what they do is they find people in a bad mental state and they work them and they push them.
Have you gone down the path?
CIA calls it a nudge, right? That's the official word, a nudge.
Have you gone down the path of it's not him who died in the vehicle?
I have not. I have my doubts about that. People are saying things like he was burned beyond recognition. That means you couldn't look at him.
Everything's weird about
that. That's who this is, right? And like his ID survived. I don't know. Where was it? Was it in a console?
Sonny was on, just like the Pentagon airplane, right? The passports and the IDs were fine.
I have a hard time believing. If you grew up where you got rid of your garbage in a burn barrel, it's not that hard to believe that there could be a fire and something could survive, because we've all thrown like a bunch of shit in there and it burns all fucking day long. And when you go out the next day, there's like a chunk of a magazine sitting there and you can literally read it. Like, that happens.
So Sonny was on one of the TV shows with that dude.
Yeah.
They were on set together. Tim Kennedy was on the episode with that guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird shit around that whole thing.
Yeah.
But the whole MK Ultra thing, I mean, do you think they just stopped that shit? I mean, there's a ton of information like that. The old dude, the reporter who started unraveling all that shit, he's been on, He's been on Rogan a few times talking about all that and all the files that he uncovered. He literally went to a warehouse and there was a ton of files and shit in the warehouse. That guy talks about all that shit. They didn't stop that shit. They just got way fucking better at it. Like the dudes who were abducting children on base and the horrendous murders and things that happened. Most people hearing this are like, I've never heard of this. When you actually start listening to this guy, it is absolutely insane what they were doing with all that shit.
Well, you know, the number one way you get children into our country for child trafficking isn't across the Mexican border with the cartel. It's by using an NGO supposedly helping children.
Yeah.
But that's how that's being done.
Yeah, I mean, they flew 250,000 of them in on jumbo jets. I mean, some of them landed in Nashville.
Yeah, where are they?
Yeah, where are they?
And so the thing with that is, and this is what people I just don't think really get, where they think we're just completely out there, tinfoil hat. Yes, some creepy guy that has like $5 to his name might grab a kid off the street. That is a thing. But that is not the clientele for this type of operation. You're talking about people that have a lot of money.
Yeah, where's Ellen DeGeneres right now? Where's Oprah right now? Where is Diddy right now? Where is all Epstein, right? And how intertwined is that with almost every politician out there?
Do you not think Diddy's going to be freaking Epstein 2.0, where like they'll convict him if he doesn't accidentally kill himself? Yeah. But they'll never be – like he's throwing all these parties and have all these people over. What if you're trafficking children – I'm kind of interested in who you trafficked them to.
Two, yeah. Nobody.
I'm not saying that gives you a pass, but I kind of want both sides of that. Like, you know.
Yeah. Why would you hide it?
You know, I know when we do drugs, like we're more concerned with the dealer than the user. I get, but this isn't drugs. This is a child.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I have something for pedophiles right here.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks to Andy McCann for my new toy.
Yes.
More to come later.
Yeah, you should totally make that a meme in your podcast now. I have something for...
I shot myself in the head with an airsoft gun for a number of years. I'm sure I can find something to do with this little implement here. Oh, you want to know what it is and you're not on the video? Tough. You have to come on the video.
Yeah. We are at minute... I don't even know what it doesn't say on my screen. Oh, 105.
Where is the... Timer's usually here. Where did
it's in the upper left.
Oh, there. I see it. Okay.
Jeez. It's not where it is, right?
It's not supposed to be there, I thought.
It's like when you put your home button on your website anywhere other than the upper left-hand corner.
You can't find it?
You can't find it? Like, you can just put your logo in the upper left-hand corner, and I'm going to know that if I click on that, it takes me home. But if you put your home button some retarded foot of the page place, I'm never going to find it.
I think that's where it always was. That just I haven't live-streamed since before Christmas, so I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, if you want to know what the pedophile tool is, you have to come find the video. You're not going to find out in the audio-only version. And like I was telling you earlier, it's legit. Like, it's all the way through. It's not a Spencer Gifts version.
It's usable.
It's usable. It's sharp. Now you really got to come find it.
John, what's with buying all the super siphons? Saw it on the live last night. Got a few a while back.
Because I added IBC totes, and I actually brought them in the garage this year just so we could siphon them. And because we're storing all of our kerosene in NATO gas cans, Wavian fuel cans, the siphon, the nozzle is trash. You want the jiggler siphon. So as I do everything, I went on Amazon and bought every single siphon that they sell and every fuel transfer bulb and push and suction and battery power, everything with the idea, oh, we'll do a review video, which we never do. So I end up with 100 of these. And even when I have lost one, I can still find another one.
Gotcha. Because I build my own. I know you got the ones with the ball bearing and you shake them. I just take the charging bulb for like an outboard motor and fuel line. And I can make as many of them as I want.
Tactical made a badass one that I have. And he's got a brass pipe in the end of it.
Yeah.
So that goes down through any of your flapper valves in the tanks and stuff. Man, he made a real nice one.
That's really nice.
That's a good idea because you do have to like fish it down there to get it past the valve. Yeah.
He can manufacture and sell those.
But yeah, it's not just the nozzles on the cans. It's heavy. Yes. And like if I need to add fuel to my truck, I just throw it up on the toolbox and start the siphon and just walk away, unless you know you're almost full, which you probably wouldn't be doing it then. But that's what I do is every month I take a can empty to the gas station and refill it and put it in my – I have a 12-can rotational 60-gallon storage. So January's can gets dumped in January. That way the fuel's never more than a year old. And that's how I do it. I just siphon it in. It's so much easier than sitting there holding a 5-gallon can, which will never get all the way fucking empty, by the way.
And so your jiggler siphons used to be 6 feet, but now they've got a bunch of 8 and 10 feet.
Okay.
Ones too high. And anywhere across the back bed of my truck, if I can hold 6 of these, and I've got a bed stabilizer bar that limits them, or you can put them behind a toolbox. From anywhere in place, I just crack that open, and the hose fits right in the filler. It takes 2 minutes to dump 5 gallons of fuel.
Yep.
Nice.
And it's better than a minute and a half of holding it.
Yes. Yep. And then I can also run out of there into a smaller one and then use the smaller one to fill small motors and stuff with. Because that 5 gallons, it's just unwieldy.
That's awful. And there's no bottom handle.
Yep.
Oh, I got a new entitlement story for you guys.
Okay, do it.
Dude runs out of gas on my road. Go out and talk to him, like, what's up? I'm running out of gas. All right. Just walk away, don't say nothing. Come back out. And he's like, oh my God, thank you. Gas can siphon. I siphoned about 2 gallons of gas in his car. He asks for more. Now, if I'm in the middle of nowhere, which it feels like, but I'm not, like if you got to drive 100 miles to get gas, I would give a whole can. But literally, like 3/4 of a mile down the road is a gas station. I'm like, I went from being a nice guy to like, get the fuck out of my sight. He's like, what? Guy's probably 25 years old. Can I have more? Get the fuck out
Can
of
I
here.
Buy more?
Yeah. Can I have more?
If I give you, $40, can I have the whole can?
Here's a rake and
like $3 a gallon, right?
50. Here's a rake and a push mower.
Yeah. Nah, something like that. I only want them inside the fence. I really don't.
No.
I just don't. I don't want them on my property.
It's feeding straight.
I got the dogs running around.
Feeding stray dogs. Before you know it, you got rabies and parvo.
Yeah. I had to get a John dog, man. I got to get Kalangle. Just keep people like that out of my property.
we got a guy, man.
I don't need that.
Man, I can't keep a Pyrenees. I got a Pyrenees I can't keep in at all, and she's a great dog. But my big dogs, they don't jump fences.
They know their job.
Yeah, they know where they're fed. Right. Yeah.
Pyrenees are great, but they're bad about leaving.
Yes.
They're really bad about it. Like, all the guys I know that run cattle down in South Texas, like whenever they bring a Pyrenees in, they always bring a young one into at least a couple or a trio of experienced dogs that know not to leave because they'll actually prevent the young dog from leaving.
Yeah.
Because what the coyotes will do is they'll lure them out and then they'll kill them.
This thing will climb right up in a corner fence. She'll climb right up. I mean, she'd go 10 feet. She'll climb right. I've watched her do it. She'll climb right up the chain link.
Have you put a zapper at the top?
No. Like I'm to the point where the dog's got to not be here.
One wet nose to a hot wire, and they'll never do it again. I've seen it.
I have so much. I've got so much fence, though.
Yeah. You only need it where she can climb. You only need it where, like Nicole's saying, like in that corner, wherever she uses those corners to get out. And if it happens to her once, she'll assume it's...
Man, she's so hard of will, man. I've put a collar on her. She caught a duck the other day, and she'll just run these things. They always catch the ducks. The chickens are too fast. She'll get a hold of this thing, and you'll have that collar on here, and she'll be fine when the collar's on her. And as soon as you take that damn collar, it's like that fucking dog just knows, man. She is so smart.
Yeah, they are. What we've done with the sheep, I don't know if this would work with dogs, is set up a situation where they get shocked bad.
Yeah.
And then put, instead of the fencing when we ran out, just white string.
Yeah, they see it and they're like, no, fuck that.
Nah,
That's bad. Eventually that worked on pigs too, pigs will eventually test it.
Yeah.
But you'll see, like, if you wire train pigs, they'll walk right up to about 2 inches from that wire and they look at that like, mm-mm. That fucking wet nose, man, once that hits a hot wire, it'll get your attention. When I first put it around the duck holding area, Lucy hit one, and she yelped, and she went to the opposite fence. I had to go find her. I was afraid she was like going to jump the fence and go out the other side. freaked her out so much. But she won't go near a wire now. If she sees a wire, yeah. And that was one time 7 years ago, and that dog sees a wire, she's like, nuh-uh, no.
Wires are bad. Yes, that happened to Cece, but she didn't. We think she didn't see the wire. She just got shocked.
So she doesn't know why.
So she actually busted through my actual door into my house. Didn't come out for 3 days.
I could see that with her.
I had to get the letter carrier up here. I'm like, call my dog so she'll come outside.
Yeah.
She has figured out wires now, but man, she's terrified of this one part of my property where she will never go there.
We've got a lot of things shocked on my fence. Nicole was shocked on my fence. That was
I got shocked on Nicole's fence, that damn red gate with the latch thing on it. Holy shit. I have some video of Sebastian from years ago. It popped up a couple months ago. And we were telling him, we're like, hey, that's an electric wire right there on that fence. And he just was being a little asshole. And he grabbed that thing. He grabbed that, and it zapped him. And he fell on the ground and just started crying. And he was like 13.
Oh, wow. I've been hit a couple of times. It's not fun. It's not fall on the ground and cry either.
Yeah, but I don't have like Nick Ferguson fences. It's just like a cheapy electric fence.
I got hit by one in West Virginia.
He grabbed it, though. That'll really get your
head. Yeah, he got it. Yeah, it got him.
I got one in the bicep in West Virginia. I reached underneath to unlatch the fence, and I got my bicep just close enough to it. And I don't know what that charger was, but it the way that a guy that used to work for the electric company put it, knocked my dick into my back pocket.
Well, is it true? If you pee on an electric fence, does it zap you, or is that not true?
Everybody I know who says it's true.
I believe it's possible.
Could you imagine that?
That's the thing. You should be glad he grabbed it and you didn't get him to pee on it. Like, that would have been way worse.
They pulse, so you'd have to have a continuous stream making contact at the time of the pulse, because they're not like, they don't just, a good one doesn't just sit there on. It pulses on and off, on and off, on and off. So if you had a, I can't see why you got salt, water. It seems like a good conductor right into the pipe, but I've never tested it and I don't plan on it.
Yeah, Ferguson, that's what Nick talks about, using such a high-level charger that as the plants creep up, it shocks them and it, you know, keeps them from growing there if it's on.
That's Greg Judy does the same thing. He's like, if you have to worry about plants getting on your fence is not high enough voltage. It should fly the tips, because the tips of the grass are going to hit first, and it should just basically fry them off and burn them off. Mythbusters. Yep. So we have to do Mythbusters on the pee on the fence. I have a volunteer, Nicole. Jake.
I've got a guy. I've got a guy right now.
It'll do it.
I got a dude.
No, our charger has been recently upgraded, like in the last year, to a new brand and stronger charger. And I was in the garden, and so we have wire at the top of the fences that are woven wire around the garden. And most of the time that's not charged. And Tactical said it was not charged, but it was charged. And I reach over and grab it with my leather garden gloves on and got a stripe burned. I was like, oh, and he was just laughing. Like, he didn't do it on purpose, but of course it's funny when it happens. So
yeah. Are you guys plugged into the wall? Is that like,
yeah, it's not solar. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That one. I think the sheep pasture that's our remote location, because they're doing some stuff over there and turning on power, I think that will also go to actual powered instead of the battery system.
So we have a Mythbusters.
We can just zap harder.
Mythbusters episode says peeing on the fence. It can happen, but it's not likely. I think John should test this with his guy.
I think James Young should test this.
Yeah, I got it, dude.
Man.
Because I know a lot of things that people say they've seen, they didn't see.
Always.
Like cow tipping, geese drowning in the rain, all that shit is all bullshit.
If all the shit they say you can't do homesteading, we just did all of that. Most of it still works, yeah.
Plenty of people say you can't do a thing that you can do, and plenty of people say you can do a thing that you can't do. And then they insist, the ones that get me are the ones that insist they've seen it. And I'm like, okay, so you say this happens. And in 1985, it was a believable lie, because you had to go spend like $1,800 to buy the cheapest video camera known to man. Today, we have literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of people walking around with high definition cameras, and there's no video of this thing ever happening anywhere.
Oh, Bigfoot?
So I kind of doubt it.
Well, yeah. Now I want to know why Tactical knows you can't pee on a fence, because he's saying, did you do that, Tactical? Because I didn't hear that story. Just curious.
Here's what the person said. They said, did an episode on peeing on the electric rail. Yes, you can, but it's not practically possible unless you pressure hose that ducker. I think I remember this now, and it wasn't an electric fence. It was a subway track.
That's different.
Holy shit. If that went off, that would kill you.
Right. And now I'm finding the file. They basically like pressurized it so it was a thick stream, and they had like a dummy. Like, I don't remember what they call their dummy. They call him something, and like it just blows his ass backwards. But like basically what they're saying is if you pissed off the subway track, you know, down into the subway, it wouldn't get you. I think there's a big difference in that distance and like peeing on an electric wire like 6 inches away. I think that will, I don't know, man. John, you have to, for science.
Like, do you have a steady stream or do you have gaps in the water? That's the question we're answering.
Who pees like that?
I guess you could figure out how to, but if you time it wrong, at some point there is.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You've got to get the pulse exactly right. You got to have a lot of Kegel control, right?
This is not a new boot camp activity.
We are now Shock Jock Radio, promoted to Shock Jock Radio.
It is what it is.
It's what it is. It's the first one of the year, guys. Hey, you're lucky.
We talk about hard-hitting topics, cutting-edge stuff.
I got one. Okay, so my wood splitter's down right now. The motor, we're having some motor problems. So we grabbed all the dudes last night. We went out and we grabbed mauls, and I've got a bunch of mauls. Do you guys use a splitting axe, or do you use a splitting maul? And is there a difference between the two to anybody on here? Does anybody have the answer? Because I don't know. Now, you look at a Fisker's splitting axe or maul, they're, $40. You get one at Tractor Supply, they're $40. But then you look at, like, Steel and Husqvarna, they're $100. You look at a Grands Force Brooks, they're, like, $200. Does it make a difference? Does anybody have an opinion on that?
I have an opinion.
What is it?
This is my definitions. I've never verified this on the internet, but the maul is like a big, hefty.
Yeah, it's heavy.
With a square sort of,
Yep, like a sledgehammer.
And you have one on the handle, and those work for really hard jobs. And also the weight of it coming down helps split a hard to split log. A splitting axe is narrower and you can swing it faster because it's lighter. And that's better for a log where you're taking off smaller pieces.
Yeah, see.
So I actually use the axe more physically for me. And then when I need to split one that's hard, I get the separate maul and I'm pounding
wood
it.
Wood blaster. Yeah, the wood blaster. Yep.
So, I mean, we have a log splitter now, but I went through years of not having that.
Yeah, we have a full-blown processor. So the kid that's going to pee on the electric fence, he likes the Fiskars, and he says the lighter, the better, because it's fast and it just blasts through. Whereas I prefer, a 5 pound or something heavier. And then I want to use the weight of that thing coming down.
And then I just like how John is predetermined it's going to happen.
Oh, it'll happen.
Awesome. You put the log here and then pound it down.
Yeah.
Really good for making kindling. Every homesteader should have one if you're heating with wood. Because you'll just, if you're bored, you just go make kindling outside.
Did you buy that or did somebody make that?
I don't heat with wood because it doesn't get cold enough here often enough to do it. But this is what we used when we were in Arkansas. They're $130 from Harbor Freight. It's a 10-ton hydraulic jack. You use it like a ski machine or like a running machine. You each one at a time. And it works beautifully. And it never fails because it's not electronic. It's not gas. It won't break down. It's just a fucking bottle jack. And I haven't had the jack fail, but I believe if that jack failed, you could probably just buy the jack and bolt it back on.
Yeah.
So, those are totally worth it to me.
Luke Newcomb here. Hey, CKY was Camp Kill Yourself. That actually was the predecessor to Jackass. We actually know a lot of those dudes. Some of the guys from Jackass, there's some videos out there of some of the dudes from Jackass using SOE gear.
Yeah, that's the kindling splitter. There's a whole bunch of different brands and styles, but yeah, they're.
Did you buy that one or did somebody make that one, Nicole?
No, that one was purchased for me as a gift. Like when the relationship broke up, I was really freaked out about keeping the fire going. And for my birthday that year, the whole community bought me one of those.
That's cool. And yeah, I'm when amazing. So like you'll just I'll come through the shop after lunch and you kind of see that things have just slowed down a little bit. So I'll just be like, you and you, come on. We'll go outside. We'll swing those things for 30 minutes and we come back in and everybody's wide awake all of a sudden. The carbs from lunch have burned off.
Yep. That's a good practice.
It's a better workout than beating a tire with a sledgehammer because at least you get something out the other end of it.
Somebody was talking about their shifts earlier about using used tires for that.
Man, that's a lot of work.
It's just too much work. And I had a guy on, he built this machine to do it, and it was less physically demanding, but it didn't speed anything up. It was like this press that you set inside the tire, and then you put the dirt in, and it like compacted it with like an expander. And but it didn't really make it, like, my problem with earth shifts is, yeah, they're wonderful, but like, you just do like, we've been working on it for 15 years, we're almost done. And like, I can't take 15 years to build a house. Like, it seems to me there should be a way to do this faster.
You know who's built earth shifts is William Bond. He actually apprenticed out there for six months.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willow, the sunshine prepper, she has been in process of building an earthship for a long time, and she took a break when she had children from it. But she had a year or two in on hers, and she was like, I can pound the soil into a tire in about 4 to 6 hours.
Holy shit.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. No. I'll do rammed earth first. I mean, that's the most common building technique in the world is rammed earth, where you're basically building the walls out of earth without a tire. Like, that's going to be – no, I'm not – no.
Carl, I like the way you're thinking there, buddy. Armor carrier and splitting wood. What happened to Sunshine? Like, I know that there was a push. She had launched a YouTube at one point. I saw her at SRF a couple times ago. Super, like, bubbly, super happy. And then I didn't see anything more of her, probably because I'm just not looking. What's her progress right now?
Baby number 3.
No shit.
Yeah, you will see her back. She was at SRF in October for Saturday, I think, and they left on Sunday. So still happy, but, you know, the first year of a baby is a lot of work. So
nice.
I'm not sure we're going to be expecting a lot of YouTube videos from her this year.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I like the Wafati. Is it Wafati? Is that the thing Paul does out there?
Yeah.
I like that thing. I like the Wallapini too, the in-ground greenhouse. I like,
I like the combo of those things.
Yeah. Arcacopia is a YouTube channel out of Canada. Canada Prepper had an interview with that dude, and he's got an enormous half in-ground greenhouse. I mean, like 10,000 square feet, like the whole side of the building. And then there's a bunch of social media that always makes the rounds where they've got a cow barn, and then the cow. The heat coming off the cow's heat across the concrete slab, and then it's like a two-story greenhouse, and they've got banana trees growing out in, like, Wisconsin or somewhere.
Yeah. On the Wallapini one that you're talking about, there's an older dude that built one in Nebraska, and he's growing, like, oranges and shit in Nebraska.
Most expensive citrus in the world.
Well, he sells it locally, and he makes good money on it.
That's cool, man.
But he's like, we keep enough for ourselves, and we sell all we don't have, and we don't have that many every year because it's only so big. But he's like, yeah, we pay for everything with our oranges.
I see. I follow some I think they're probably on TikTok, but they've got kind of the same setup, and they've got reptiles all running through there, just like chameleons and shit with snow out on the ground outside. And they've got all kinds of like little crocodilians and shit in the water.
See, that's what I would do. There'd be fucking snakes and fucking chameleons and all kinds of shit in there if I had that.
I just want to, I want a big, huge, not stainless, but cast iron, old style Gothic greenhouse.
Yeah.
But I want parrots flying around in that. I just want to walk outside in the snow, drink a cup of coffee, and have the parrots out there.
So what I want is a couple of miles south of me down in Fort Worth, or probably 10 miles south of me, we have a botanical gardens, and they have a 1.5 acre like greenhouse atrium, and they have a fucking coffee tree that's like 12 feet tall.
Nice.
With coffee beans all over it. Yeah, I want that, and I want a fucking Brazilian rainbow boa that lives in that tree. I want to train it. Like, you fucking live in this tree. You never leave this tree. This is your tree.
Yep.
I don't think you can do that, but since I'm not getting the greenhouse anyway, I might as well fantasize all the way out with it.
Not those ugly Colombian rainbow boas.
No, I want a Brazilian rainbow with the iridescence and all that. I want a special light form so he just looks beautiful.
her. I want the female because she's bigger.
But you could, we could have that tomorrow. We can get you the boa.
Well, I can get the boa. The boa's no problem. For anybody out there, just because I said it, this is an advanced snake. It requires certain humidity controls, and they tend to, as they get bigger, get nippier. They'll bite the fuck out of you. You know, anything that lives in a tree as a snake will probably bite, and it will probably hurt. Yeah. Because they're going to live on birds and frogs. So Amanda, they need long, long teeth proportionally to hold on to that. If it eats a bird, it will bite you.
We had a bunch of GTPs, the green tree pythons.
Yep, they bite like fuck.
Beautiful, man. They look like little bunches of bananas.
Yep.
And they turn into this bigger, you know, green snake. Amanda had one that you could actually hold. It was the craziest thing. And when you go to the expo, the dude's always got one that you can hold. That's the one that you buy, though.
Yeah. I love the ones that say, well, yeah, it tried to bite you through the tank, but as they get older, they get calmer. You know, if you're talking about, like, a retic or something, they tend to, like, a big retic is like, but, like, anything that lives in a tree, the older it gets, the harder and more likely it is that it's going to bite.
There's a dude on Instagram and TikTok too that has a couple cobras that he handles every day. Yeah. I don't think I'm going that route though.
No. I wonder if they're venomoids though. Like a lot of them.
No, they are not. No, they're not. Okay. No,
you're
not
dumb then. You're gonna die.
They are not.
It's not venomoids. If it's when.
Yeah, so, yeah. And it's never you by yourself. It's your asshole friend that's there with the beer. Yeah. That's when it always happens. It's the distraction.
Yeah. I won't do hots because I am not procedural. I know what to do, but I know sooner or later I'm going to drop the procedure because I've done it with like rock pythons and shit like that, where like I had these two little rock pythons I was breeding and they had a little cave that they stayed in and they eat bats, right? So what they do is they sit outside a cave and they grab bats out of the air. So if they're in something like that and you move around outside, they just instinct. And I used to get bit by them all the fucking time and I didn't care. But I'm like, you know, if that's a rattler.
Yeah.
You know, or that's a mamba or some shit. Like, you just died. Or you have a $300,000 hospital bill now.
It's more than that. Yeah.
There was some dude I just saw a video of. He got bit by an Eastern Diamondback, like one of these, like, TikTok influencer dudes. And he told the snake, like, well played. And he was like, he gets the camera rolling, but he knew he was in deep shit. He ended up with 38 vials of antivenom.
I had six. I had six vials overnight.
I've never heard that.
Southern Pacific.
Oh, snow packs are bad shit, man.
Yep, it was about an 18-inch one.
Little ones can be worse because they're fucking paranoid, so they really fucking.
Yeah, they're nippy.
I saw one dude got hit by one, and it looked like he had worms in his leg. Like his muscles started twitching, and it looked like his leg was full of maggots. Like, nah, I don't need that.
Yeah, that's a delay. I was to the hospital within 45 minutes to Sharp over there. And, you know, because of San Diego Zoo, they have all the anti-venom and everything close.
Yep.
Welcome to Herpological Talk with John and Jack.
But wait, once you get bitten, so I will ask the questions because it's not my area. Yeah. Once you get bitten and you get the anti-venom, if you get bitten again, will the anti-venom work a second time?
It depends.
Yeah, it typically will. Like, you're not going to build up a an immunity to it like they talk about.
What some people do.
Some people do. I'm not going to trust that. I'm not running with that one.
But have you seen that we one dude? Two of the most venomous snakes in the world and make them bite him on the arm, and his arm swells up and then he's fine? Like,
yeah, I've seen all that. I'm not going to.
People get hit at rattlesnake roundups that you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you see them at the churches and shit get bit pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Maybe drive by. I don't know. Yeah. We should do a reptile show every quarter or something.
I think that'd be good.
How not to die.
How not to die by snake.
Well, I mean, there's just so many myths.
With the snake is rule one. Like, the average snake bite in America occurs to males between the age of 15 and 35 and occurs on the hand or the forearm. There's only one way for that to fucking be. You were fucking with the snake. Like, that's like the vast majority of bites are not what you call a legitimate bite. Legitimate bite is you stepped over a tree branch and you stepped on the back of the snake and it bit you in the calf. Like happened to me when I was a teenager.
Like Andy.
Andy got a legitimate bite down in Costa Rica. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been bit.
Jacked up.
I've never been bit by a snake I wasn't messing with. Well, I mean, we keep them in breeder trays, so they're very, very food aggressive, and we're feeding 100 snakes in, you know, an hour and a half. So it's open.
What are you mostly mouth, keeping like that?
Nothing right now, but mostly it was colubrids. We had small boas in there, a lot of ball pythons, but mostly tricolors, milk snakes, cow kings, different
things. Yeah, where you get bit and you go, I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Yeah, we had some baby anacondas, just, you know, super, super. All they know is that when they feel that tray, food's coming in. And like, I had never, ever had to feed. I always fed by the tail. And never got tagged, man, until we started using like Freedom Breeder racks or ARS racks.
Yeah, where you're pulling out and they're coming this way. Yeah.
Dude, I got bit every day. Yeah. Even with tongs. I had tongs and long.
They still come after you.
Yeah.
Because you're warm and the thing you're feeding them isn't.
Yeah.
So that heat sensory is just targeting, like, it just sees thermal. Like, that's what it's looking at is thermal.
Yep. And the snakes were all, you know, we had heat tape under every rack on the door. So the animals were super warm. They were already awake.
So what you do there is put your heat tape in the back.
Yeah, we did.
Or they stay to the back side of the pull out then.
We did because we had our permanent water structures were in, they held them in place and we used cups so we could just change them out.
Yep.
All right.
It didn't occur to me to be afraid of snakes until I moved to Tennessee and people told me I was supposed to be.
No, just be aware of them. Aware of them.
I was taught you, like, hiking in the woods, you have a stick and you beat it in, like, over the side of the log before stepping over the log.
A blind person. I'll get you a cane.
Be careful stepping over things. That is good advice. Yeah.
If you're putting your hand where you can't see in nature, there could be something there. It could be a black widow spider.
Yeah.
It could be a rat. Did you guys hear about that teacher who died of rabies because a rat flew into her classroom? She picked it up and threw it outside and came back and kept teaching. Didn't know she'd been bitten by a rabid bat.
It doesn't take much.
Oh, a bat. Bat.
Bat. A rat.
Yeah.
No, bat. Take much.
Like,
apparently, the bites are so microscopic, you don't necessarily know.
If you touch a bat, you should do it.
First case of bird flu in the United States in human being was reported yesterday, day before. Did you guys hear that?
It was the first case where somebody died. But it was an old person with comorbidities.
There we go. And there's a major mystery virus that's running through India and China right now that's killing
young
kids.
A major mystery virus. I can't remember what it's called, but it's been around since 2000, and most children under the age of 5 have already had it.
There we go.
And they're just making bullshit up again. It's just more bullshit.
Well, they're warming everybody up for Trump's new virus.
Yeah. Well, they got to keep him distracted.
Do you see the lady from the CDC said, just because we're not testing for COVID doesn't mean that COVID's not still there.
It is still there.
What's the point of having snakes? Same as having fish or a bird or anything else.
If I have to, it's Harley Davidson. If I have to explain it to you, you're not going to understand it. Like, some people like snakes and some people don't. I guarantee you, whoever asked that question, you have something in your house that John and I are like, eh, I don't care. Yep. Don't have anything against it. Just like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I don't know why people keep spiders.
Oh, I hate spiders, man. I bought this little girl that took care of my snakes for years.
Yeah.
I bought her some of those blue palm spiders.
Uh-huh.
That was the most dangerous thing we ever had were those damn spiders. She was really good with them.
I don't hate them or anything. I just, like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't anything. It just sits there.
If you want to make money, man, if you want to make money as a reptile guy, you breed arachnids.
Yeah. Yeah, because they can have 1,000 of them.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why people buy so many of them. You sell somebody like something like, even like a rock python or something that's going to get 6-8 foot and, how many of those can you really keep?
Or a cicada tortoise.
Yeah.
Have you seen the channels with jumping spiders, like where they're talking?
Hilarious. And it jumps out at the end? Yeah. I've seen them.
I love those things. The little jumpers?
Yeah, they're cute. I had one on my monitor for a long time.
I have ones here. They're black, and they get a little bit bigger than the average size of them, and they have like a red mark on them. And they're all over, like, in the spring, and they wipe out cabbage worms like fucking crazy.
Nice. We get these super fast movers that are on the gates, or maybe it's just I see them because I'm in and out of the gate.
But what I like about them is they're so fucking fast, and they don't look like they are. Like when they sneak up on something, they're like, and when they make that last jump, it's like, holy shit.
Good thing they're not our size.
Yeah. Oh no, we can't.
like
they
the
would
mist.
Eat the shit out of you. I guarantee you that.
Yep.
Have you ever heard the expanding Earth theory?
No, I don't know if I have.
Okay, so the expanding Earth theory is that the Earth is actually growing over time. And hence, the gravity on Earth has increased over time. Because we have these fossils of, like, dragonflies with, like, six-foot wingspans. And there are no dragonflies with six-foot wingspans. And people aren't really sure how they ever existed because they have an exoskeleton. So how would this thing have existed unless the gravity was lower? I'm not saying this is true. I'm just telling you what people say. It's also part of the whole abiotic oil theory as well.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. That the Earth is actually increasing in mass across time. Which I believe that it is, but I don't believe that it is in the way that they say that it is. And, like, not enough to do that. Simply put, topsoil forms, there's more matter. And we're collecting solar energy and we're converting it into matter when we build topsoil. So somehow, like, the Earth is bigger than it was in the beginning. It has to be.
Didn't they say over in East Tennessee that they opened a portal and contacted something else through that collider that they had over there? They've said that several times. Just like the one in CERN, there's okay. one at Oak Ridge. There's supposed to be, they've opened a portal and we've exchanged something with somewhere.
Is but that the real reason they canceled the super collider in Texas?
So I don't know, but there actually is some information about it out there. But I always thought that's what that movie The Mist was about.
Okay. Because that's the thing where, like, they accelerate protons yes. to, like, almost yep. the speed of light and they collide them.
Yeah, there was official press.
Like, what's going to happen?
They found a wormhole in space that looks like it would accelerate transport somewhere in the last 2 weeks, because I was reading about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a Star Trek level wormhole shit.
Yeah, like that's what they called it.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, could you actually go through a wormhole, or would it, like, stretch you out into, like...
A worm?
A wire, like...
That's a good question.
You know, like they say a black hole would, because it just seems like it's like a black hole with a quasar on the other end. It'd be what it is.
Yeah. Well, then they've got those cloning, cloning bacteria, which basically makes teleportation possible for the bacteria. Because they're exact replicas instantly.
Oh.
Which, so, I of course had to go down that rabbit hole, and I read about it, and it's the use they're talking about is faster communications with space. Because if they communicate and replicate each other that far away very quickly, it's faster than how we can communicate with space now.
So it's somehow binding quantum entanglement with...
Yeah.
Man, here you guys are, and I'm talking about hardwiring field phones.
Well, that's useful too.
But it's quantum entanglement. So the concept of quantum entanglement is we take two protons from the same atom and separate it, and we put them at a distance. And we manipulate one of the protons so it spins the opposite direction. The other proton immediately begins spinning in the opposite direction. They're forever entangled. And this instant transmission of changing of behavior is faster than the speed of light for that information to have been transmitted. That's quantum entanglement.
Fascinating.
Which is, yeah, it's like spooky, spooky action at a distance is what Einstein called some of these things.
Yeah.
So... But is that true, or did somebody just say? Because a lot of things they told us are true. It's not true. Like, but I've been seeing people like it seems like Hancock and Carlson have really taken off with Graham's new thing on Netflix with the ancient apocalypse stuff, and more people are asking questions about these ancient ruins and going, how the fuck did they carve this giant rock? And like, there's dudes going out literally with like the copper, the brass chisels, and trying to do it, and going, look, the chisel literally falls apart on the rock. Mm-hmm. I think I know how they did it, though. I think they did it with fire. You make a little line, you grow a fire on it, you make a fracture, you go down, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. That's how I would cut rock. But I don't think you could cut it. The other side of that, I don't think you could cut it to the tolerances. Like, have you seen some of this shit where these rocks are like, we can't do it today. They have, like, this 500-ton rock, and it is precision fit. And some of them are square and they're all the same, but some of them like have these weird, intricate ways they can unlock.
You can't even slide a sheet of paper.
You can't do anything.
And not only that, they're identical in other parts of the world.
Yes.
And, the celestial orientation are all identical as well, all
the
around.
The one that got me, I just saw like either yesterday or the day before, was it's a sarcophagus that was cut and it's in a, I think it's in a museum in Cairo, but it's cut wrong. It's on, like, there's an angle on it that's not supposed to be there. It's an error. And what the guy said is, like, if you were doing that manually, you would stop. You would identify the error. That's indicative of, like, high-speed machine cutting.
Yeah.
That the error would occur because you would just, you, hey, slave, you're fucking
how
up.
About, how about all the steps in the pyramids that are molten lava? Like, what melted those things inside there? There's just so much bizarre shit around that.
I've seen a theory that you could actually form limestone in place, and a guy did it, like, with a small piece of it. And so instead of cutting it and placing it, you actually fabricated it in place would be another possibility. But the problem with that theory is we literally can say this rock was quarried 500 miles away in this place. There's another problem, though. How yeah.
did harmonics you, and vibration is what a lot of people are saying. Just
that's what Randall says. It's
other world technologies. Nephilim is another one you hear mentioned.
Ah, the Nephilim.
Yes, the Nephilim.
The giants.
You didn't know we were going to go there today, did you?
No.
I mean, look up how many look up how many speeches Abraham Lincoln mentioned giants. And then look at Google search giants mentioned in articles by New York Times also. I think 1950s was the last time it was mentioned, but there was, I think, over 200 articles that showed pictures of man with giants in the same photos from back in the day. There's a ton of shit out there on it.
So maybe they're just big guys that picked them up and moved them.
Oh, I don't know. Very big guys.
They'd have to jack her.
Well, they supposedly laid with the daughters of men. So I'm thinking that's too big.
And swine.
Oh, okay. Yep. What about the big blue ox? Maybe he did it.
Maybe.
Hey, the big blue ox. Paul Bunyan's buddy?
Yep. I would like to have one of those fiberglass ones if you ever see one.
Okay. John has given us an assignment, Jack.
Well, I want one of those.
Marty and I tried to sell him this gorgeous wood-sculptured stallion from South Texas. Dorothy was like texting it, like, if you bait him hard enough, he might do it. We were making a deal on commission on the other end.
There's a guy at Scott's Market in Atlanta that has those things. They bring them in these metal cages. I do want one of the pink elephants. One of the full-size pink elephants.
We have a pink elephant in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody vandalized it. It was a community outcry.
Yeah, there's concrete ones and there's fiberglass ones. And they run about $23,000 right now. I want to find one that's been abandoned on some old property and just relocate it.
See, keeping the snake doesn't sound so weird now, does it?
Yeah, no, not at all.
He wants a $20,000 elephant.
I want a roller coaster.
Everybody wants a roller coaster.
There's plenty of them there. You just have to. Ever. A buddy of mine hit me up the other day with a fire tower. They just needed it removed from Crossville. And by the time I hit my other, I'm like, how do we take this down? He's like, oh, we would do it in sections with the crane. We can do it next week. When I got back to him to tell him we would take it, somebody had already spoken for it and was already coming to remove it. 85 foot.
A lazy river. You know what a lazy river is, right?
Is that with the little boats and shit?
Yeah, like at Six Flags, they have this thing that goes all the way through the whole park. And
I
don't want to go in there because if you get up on the tower and look down with all the kids, it's kind of yellow stained, if you know what I mean. But I want one like in my back. I want a lazy river and I want fish in that motherfucker.
I think that's completely reasonable.
I do too. Just a lot of gunite, man. That's a lot of gunite.
Yeah, totally, totally doable. Or a lot of Visqueen.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff wants to know why the Smithsonian keeps taking and hiding the good stuff. Because there's only so many square feet in those museums that can put the good stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff says, or KT says, I have a lazy river. They're called swales. No, you don't understand. I want, like, over my head, moving, flowing water. I want to sit in a freaking thing and drink a margarita and float around my whole property and fish.
Yeah, I have a small version of that, but you can't fish in it.
The problem here is it's beyond cost prohibitive because just digging the trench.
Oh, at your house, yeah. You could build it up.
Is it Ryan who's out here by Nashville that does the swales? Man, his swale, that video he put up was badass. Those little micros he put in, man, those things were working awesome.
Yeah, micros are great. Yeah, Ryan's been doing some good stuff. Yeah. I actually was already So he did his segment for Jack on the rabbit tractor. I already have the wire down in the grass growing through it for the rabbit tractor, because if you put it down before, it's better than if you
it already it grows through. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
But that was my rabbit tractor is only this wide. It's not like super wide, because
mine are 2x8, and we put bigger wire on the bottom. So we lift one side up, roll it, and it sets down, and then they can still mow it down.
So what he's doing, I don't know if you're talking about the same thing, John. He's got basically the goat fence panels, and he just puts the tractor on top of it, and it slides across it. Yeah. And you just need two of them, and you put the next one in front of it, and then you just slide your tractor across it, and there's no bottom on the tractor.
Got it.
Yeah, Ryan is the homestead consultant. Go look him up. Somebody, homesteadconsultant.com, they were asking how to find him. And yeah, he does some videos on YouTube for sure.
But you're right, Nicole. If you throw the front one in place before you get to it, all your grass will pop up through it.
Yeah.
That totally happened on accident because I'm slow about finishing the rabbit tractor. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, I have an hour today to work on the tractor. I'd rather paint my roasting shack or whatever.
Yep, we got bunnies in boxes right now. We got bunnies being born today. We've got bunnies born a month ago. We got bunnies born, well, almost every day we got bunnies being born.
Yeah, I have some of John's rabbits bearing bunnies.
Even though I don't do them, I think it's going to become the number one livestock in America for backyard.
Especially for the people who are like, I'm not allowed to have chickens. Well, get rabbits.
Get rabbits. Quiet, no one sees them.
Yeah.
The thing about rabbits is you can feed them without the feed store easily.
Yep.
That's the big. Now I'm going to be clear. I think everybody should keep some pellets and keep a little bit there for them all the time to be sure, just like we feed bees sugar water. But you don't really have to, especially if you have some fodder trees and good grass, and make a mini hay baler for your winters. Like, you could make a mini hay baler from scrap wood for nothing, or for if you went and bought it $50, you could make a mini hay baler.
You can buy a pelletizer pretty inexpensively, even.
Yep.
They're like $1,500.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a hammer mill to go with the pelletizer, right? So you need a hammer mill and a pelletizer. Because I've looked at that. My original plan was I was going to do it out of azolla and duckweed. And then I realized I would never grow enough azolla and duckweed to make it practical.
Yep.
Trees, even though that stuff grows fast.
Willow, poplar. Man, almost everything.
And you could do it with like Timothy hay and some of the aquatics, and you could make a really comprehensive pellet out of that, but I don't have the capability to grow enough to do it.
Yeah. We are processing rabbits this week.
Nice.
Yeah, for the first time in probably 2 years, we're going to process some of them for humans.
Nice. I was going to say, John's thought process.
There's a list of people who are like, I want a rabbit. I'm like, sorry, dogs.
Yeah.
John's processing crack dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick does the same thing. Cervical dislocation, throw it to the dogs.
Man, I don't even do that. I just get them out, and I've got them by the scruff and the back legs.
Yeah.
And then I have all my cages on 2x4 sitting on sawhorses, and the sawhorses stick about this far out. And I just kind of flip them as I'm coming down with them onto the back of the neck there.
Oh, yeah.
And lights out.
Yeah.
Lights out.
It's probably better than throwing them live to the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the real reason not to do that is then it conditions the dog to go after things that come from you, like your chickens and your ducks and your sheep and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the problem with that, though, right there, the slats end up getting fucked up. That's why came up with the method of moving them across the fencing. That works really well. I mean, I haven't done it, but just when it was described, I'm like, wow, yeah, that's perfect.
I've got tractors on the ground since 2019, the same exact two. And there is wood inside. We ran the mesh over, and they do chew a little bit, but they're nowhere near even needing any
Really? Oh, that's good.
Nothing at all. And we've got baby saver on the side, so it's like 1/2 inch by 1 inch all over the sides.
Yeah.
And then the bottoms we're running – I think a 2x2, maybe. It's a big mesh on the bottom. Bunnies aren't getting out. They're not burrowing out. But when we set it down, they can totally mow. If I leave that thing there for 2 days, it's down to raw dirt, even with the wire there.
The thing that Ryan's doing, though, man, with the fencing is so simple. And when you're building the tractors, yours are already built. But if you're building them, it's one less thing to do.
Yeah. I need to be able to – my ground's not all level. So yeah. I need to be able to lift it up, roll it forward, and set it down, and have 20 rabbits in that thing.
Yeah, and not crush them.
Yeah, not crush them.
That's my problem with quail. I'm thinking about going back on the quail again, though, with that method, because that was the problem with the quail is you crush them if you didn't have a bottom in.
Yep.
You know, and even with the, like, I put hardware cloth on the bottom, then sometimes feet would end up going through, and it would jack them up.
Plus, we can take it and move it to another paddock if we need to. Two guys can pick this up and set it on a trailer.
And they're all in there. Yeah, that makes sense.
That is the nice part about that approach.
Yeah. I don't have that many rabbits.
No, I'm not going to. I don't grow things Dorothy won't eat. I just don't, you know.
I accidentally have more sheep than I planned, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one about to have lambs, too.
So it turns out a 3.5-month-old ram can close the deal.
Oh.
And that is why I have sheep being born right now.
I see.
And I have no idea who the fathers are. All of these are being processed that are being born. But, yeah, we've been having them pop out. And
he needs an apron, man.
Yeah, well, he's getting an apron. Well, I don't know if we're keeping him long term. There's another person that reached out to Andy to answer. He's probably already sold the ram who had one.
Okay.
It would add biodiversity, who I trust the source. So.
Okay.
But then I was like, tactical. I really feel like if we're going to keep rams with the girls, we need to put an apron on. And he was totally against that.
Yeah.
3 months ago. Now he's like, it's that idea now.
Yeah.
It's like icy here and there's babies being born. And, you know, we had one go hypothermic and I brought her back. So I've never done that before, but I learned how to do that. She lived another couple of days and then she died. So I think she didn't get enough colostrum. But yeah, that was an education for sure. The question about can you make silage in your backyard? The answer is yes. And then somebody else said, Nick Ferguson talks about that. That's homegrownliberty.com. And you have to think about how you make the silage and make it right. That's it. If you make it wrong and feed it to your animals, it can hurt them. But silage is absolutely something you can do with fodder trees. And I think rareplantstore.com has fodder tree sets on sale if they are not already sold out for the year, because that launched around the first of the year. He even has a pig package now.
That's Nick's site.
Yeah. I'm not raising pigs though. Well, we're coming up on 2 hours. Is it time to wrap? We didn't even talk about AI. But
no.
That's the one thing we didn't like.
Next time.
Go off next time. Is that something for February? So let's go once around the horn. Let's start with you, John, since you're back on YouTube.
I am back on YouTube. SOETacticalGear.com is the website. We do a different t-shirt every week. I do a live every night at 9 o'clock on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram as well as X and also TikTok.
I'm Nicole Suss from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast. I have a free webinar Thursday at 6 p.m. Central about my three things, which is about setting a life vision and backing out, addressing your ADHD issues, and getting at least a few things done every day to move you forwards towards your goals. That can be signed up for at NicoleSauce.com, NicoleSauce.com. And if you just want an awesome cup of coffee that you can subscribe to, we have K-Cups too, HollerRoast.com. Check it out. Jack, why don't you close us out?
I am Jack Spierko, and I'll pimp for Matt Powers today a little bit. Starting tomorrow, he has a thing called Our Future, and 40 presenters. I happen to be one of them, and we're going to be talking about all things regenerative ag, permaculture, mycology, things like that. And you can sign up for that absolutely free. He doesn't have marketer brain, so he doesn't have a simple URL to get there. So if you go by my site, thesurvivalpodcast.com, look at yesterday's episode. In the notes of that episode, you'll find a link over there. You can register for free, and you should totally check it out and come do that.
Awesome, guys. We'll see you next month.
Nice. Are they going to bail you out or just run you around? They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.